Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson and his son Ryan. And Ryan, last time we were introduced to pro-life activist Kristen Hawkins, who shared the struggles of what's going on all over college campuses here in the U.S. With those women who are pregnant.
Well, Luann, she talked about how hard it is for her organization and their ideals to be welcomed by Christian colleges.
Very ironic.
I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad expressed great concern over the double standard of Christian colleges and the issue of young pregnant women out of wedlock.
Well, both your dad and Kristen were also concerned very much about this, Ryan. It's a huge issue.
Yeah.
So really, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, I would really encourage you to catch up online and hear that entire conversation. But we have more to hear from Kristen Hawkins today, so we will be picking up the conversation right where we left off last time.
Kristen is the executive director of Students for Life of America. She speaks to students across the country to motivate and train them on how to end abortion.
Amen to that.
And she has made multiple appearances on Fox News and CNN. So here now is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
You know, the interesting thing, and this is hard to believe too, but while the Christian colleges are frequently not supportive of what you're doing and may in some cases work against you, outside the Christian community, incredible things are happening. Mm-hmm. There were, last year, 2011, 83 pieces of pro-life legislation that occurred, not in a Christian context, but by legislators. We're winning the battle, for Pete's sake.
We are.
And we're making great progress. And you're having so much success, Kristen. And yet, Christians are still scared of the issue, afraid to be criticized.
Yeah, you know, we were talking a lot about 2011, the year in review. It was a monumental year for the pro-life movement. I mean, I think when we look back, when we do abolish abortion, and we look back at the history and the timeline, 2010, 2011, and even 2012 are going to be very significant years, because even just working in the pro-life movement, I mean, stuff is happening at a rapid pace. Good things are really starting to fall into place. And, you know, Planned Parenthood's president came out and said it was the worst year on record for them, despite them getting over $500 million in federal funding from the government. They're still having a bad year. So things are happening, and this generation is stepping up, and young people do recognize that abortion is killing a human being. I mean, there's more work to be done. We have to fight the apathy. You know, I try to talk a lot to a lot of pastors about abortion, and I really talk to them about, like, we've had students who have come back to their faith through the pro-life movement. We've had a lot of conversions to different faiths through the pro-life movement. Students who are atheist, agnostic, who got involved in the pro-life movement, and they start seeing those connections. You know, I was, raised in a non-denominational church, and, you know, contraception was always like, well, it's fine, it's not killing a baby. Well, then you start talking about Ella and Plan B and drugs that are...
Yeah, you got to explain what Ella is.
Sure. Yeah. Ella is the 5-day pill. So it is a cousin chemically of RU486 and is intended to kill the human embryo. Plan B is the 72 hours pill, and it is a cousin of the birth control pill. It's a high dose birth control pill that if you do conceive, it will flush the embryo, kill the embryo, because the embryo cannot plant.
That's a fertilized egg. That's a baby.
Yeah. Oh, but the Planned Parenthood says a fertilized egg is not an embryo, just a fertilized egg.
Yeah, they used to call it the mass of protoplasm.
Yes,
that was the
blob of tissue.
It's really funny because the definition of an embryo or a zygote is a fertilized egg. But, you know, you start talking about these issues, and so you have a lot of people starting going, wow, this does make sense. I'm pro-life on this. So, okay, so Ella, are you 46? Plan B? And who is the main proponents of abortion and birth control in our country? It's Planned Parenthood. And how much money is Planned Parenthood making a year? $1 billion. And you start really connecting the dots.
How much of that comes from our tax dollars?
About half right now.
And then there is Komen.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Oh, yes. The Susan G. Komen incident. That was a fun week in the pro-life movement. You know.
You love what you're doing, don't you?
Yeah. No, we, you know, for years, you know, pro-lifers, I have not supported Susan G. Komen. You know, I'm the mean person when people ask me to give money to Susan G. Komen. I say, no, I'm sorry. They support Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is the largest provider of abortions in our country. And there is a direct link between abortion and breast cancer. So that makes no sense for these two groups to be linked. So Komen came out and, you know, said that they were no longer going to be funding Planned Parenthoods. They were going to be funding 3 to 5 Planned Parenthoods in areas where they did not have other grantees. But for the most part, they were going to cut all of the Planned Parenthood funding because Planned Parenthood does not provide mammograms.
And yes, I think it was $250,000, wasn't it?
Yeah. Altogether, they give about $600,000, I believe, a year. So, I mean, $600,000 out of $1 billion. It's not really a significant amount of money for Planned Parenthood. Now, for me,
well,
that's a significant amount of money.
Yeah. That's a lot of babies.
Yes, it is. And so Planned Parenthood had been trying to come out and say that don't take away our breast exams and the whole defund battle. They really want to align themselves with preventing cancer, which we know, and they've admitted that they do not do mammograms. So Komen was saying, we're going to give our money to organizations that do mammograms, and we don't feel comfortable giving our money to an organization that's under congressional investigation. An investigation in lots of other states. But intense media pressure mounted. Mm-hmm. What's interesting with this, Komen notified Planned Parenthood in December. But then all of a sudden, Planned Parenthood, a month and a half later, releases an email saying, this just happened. And they had all their ducks in a row. They had all their friends in the media, all the big Komen donors ready to go for a full-on attack.
It was crazy. A family foundation in Dallas immediately pledged $250,000. And then Michael Bloomberg pledged a matching grant of $250,000. So Susan G. Komen donates around $600,000 a year. And within a week, they've got $750,000 from Bloomberg and another foundation.
And then Komen gets weak-kneed and wobbly-legged and backs up.
Yeah, so they back up. And it's really interesting because you read the Komen backup statement. You don't really know if they're going back to fully funding Planned Parenthood. Their statement's kind of elusive because we knew they were going to fund 3 to 5 Planned Parenthood centers until they found replacements. So the letter just says, you know, they can still apply, which anybody can apply for grants, and they'll still be receiving funding. So I'm really interested in about 6 months to see when we look back at the Komen annual reports to see did they go back to fully funding Planned Parenthood or not. I know a couple other businesses that came out, announced they were pulling away from donating to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood attacked them. They reversed their decision, but then quietly over a course of 1 to 2 years, those industries just kind of slowly stopped tapering off. But see, it's important for Planned Parenthood to be aligned with Susan G. Komen because they know that one of the biggest threats to the abortion industry is that the truth's going to get out about the abortion breast cancer link because that destroys their entire mantra that abortion is good for women, healthy for women.
You know, it's amazing that their tactic to regain funding is beating up the group that's doing the funding. I mean, have you ever heard of this?
They're bullying them.
You know, you're giving me money and then you decide not to, so I beat you up. And then, okay, well, we'll give you money.
Yeah,
again.
We did a really cool image. It was a bully, a playground bully with a Planned Parenthood symbol on his chest, like putting his finger in little girl Komen's face because that's what they are. Yeah. They're a Planned Parenthood bully.
You can get away with bullying almost anyone if you have the entire force of the media behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're right there to cover for you and to get interviews and things that make you look good. That happens in politics all the time where – you know, those that believe what we believe are just beaten to death and they can't take it.
Kristen, you've actually worked with lots of different politicians, and you and I have talked before about the difference between a pro-life politician and a pro-life politician who hires pro-lifers around them. That there are often politicians you speak to who are staunchly pro-life, but all the people around them are pro-abortion, and therefore nothing ever gets pushed
through. And whose fault is that? Who chose them?
That's personnel is policy. We did a nice little briefing with the Susan B. Anthony List right after the big 2010 elections. And it was a swanky club on Capitol Hill. We had all these new congressmen. You know, like, why do they care about Students for Life? You know, they think I'm in college or whatever. And I get up there, and I told them, I said, the number one thing I would like to request of you is that you hire a pro-life chief of staff and you hire pro-lifers in your office and you have a litmus test. Because for groups like us that don't have millions of dollars in lobbying money, you will never know what's really going on because your staff will not get the message to you. Yeah. We will not have access to you to get you out to the events.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, can I ask you, the things that are happening online with live action films and Lila Rose and the hidden videos, is that changing students? Because all of a sudden, light is being shown on a really dark organization. And you've got students who are really concerned with things like human trafficking and activism for justice for people who are being taken advantage of. And now all over the place, they're seeing that this organization near their campus is taking part in that.
I mean, we're definitely a visual generation. I mean, the number one website on the internet is YouTube. You know, if you want to reach somebody with a message, you make a YouTube video. You can be an instant superstar, you know, have a million hits and with a 5-minute video. Videos are really, really important to this generation. And like I talked about with the ultrasound, of how important the seeing the picture, seeing that video. I think one of the greatest things is if you search abortion on Google or wherever your search engine you're using, you know, pictures of aborted babies come up. There's videos of people. There's some really matter-of-fact videos of this is the tools that they use. You go to Google and go to YouTube, and like people like me, I post my 3D and 4D ultrasounds of my sons on YouTube that my family can see, and then all of a sudden it's got like 2,000 hits. Other people are watching, you know, Gunner and Bear's 3D and 4D ultrasounds. So you've got a lot of that going on. I think the videos of Planned Parenthood have really helped to focus and shed a light on Planned Parenthood because they are the abortion Goliath. I always refer to them as the abortion Goliath. They are the big man on campus. They're the ones with the lobbyists. They're getting the government funding. They're subsidizing their abortions. They're the ones making the money off all of this. And I think the videos are very, very important in exposing their real agenda because, you know, Planned Parenthood comes, it sounds like a nice name, you know, oh, Planned Parenthood, and they're providing free condoms to me. Ooh, yay. But then when you start peeling back of what's their method, you know, we have this new postcard. We make these little flashy postcards, and they don't really give students the answer, but they're there to kind of raise controversy and drive people to our website where they can find out more information. And it says, Planned Parenthood's plan for you. And we'd say, one, give you the lowest ranked condoms that are available on the market today. The lowest ranked by Consumer Reports condoms. So you think Planned Parenthood's great? They're giving you bad condoms. Then they're going to give you birth control that can cause breast cancer. They're going to give you low-dose birth control. And then they're going to give you an abortion. And this is their plan to make money. Carol Everett, you know, she worked in the abortion industry for years. Carol talks about the entire plan, the marketing plan they have, going into the schools, getting the girls hooked on contraceptives, giving out these bad, low-rank condoms, and then no surprise, they're coming to you for the abortion.
I mean, think about that. That's a cause and effect situation. Consumer Reports did a failure rate study on condoms. The lowest one, the worst one you could ever possibly use is the Planned Parenthood condom. Guess what? They're providing abortions. If you use the worst condom on the market, you probably were going to have a higher chance of needing an abortion someday.
If you scratch around anywhere near the Planned Parenthood message and the function of Planned Parenthood, you see wickedness. You see evil.
It's not, you know, when I was pregnant with my first son, I went into federally funded Planned Parenthoods in New Jersey. And it's not something I would recommend any pregnant woman doing, ever walking into an abortion facility.
Were you visibly pregnant?
Yeah. I was about 23 weeks pregnant. And I was asking the receptionist, I said, I need to talk to somebody. I'm thinking about having an abortion. And it was really interesting. You know, my line was, I just moved to town. I'm trying to decide what to do. I got an adverse prenatal diagnosis. An adverse prenatal diagnosis. So a poor prenatal diagnosis. They think my child has Down syndrome. And so I was trying to ask, you know, what kind of things would they suggest? You know, what should I do, an abortion? Or what kind of things would you suggest me do? And it was interesting, the response I got. It was different in every Planned Parenthood. I had one Planned Parenthood. We released that one publicly of saying, well, you know, you've got to make your decision really soon because you've got to get this abortion done. And she, you know, admitted in the discourse of this discussion that sometimes the babies are born alive during this one abortion technique. And that was pretty shocking for me. But I remember the last one I went to, and it was,
you did nine of these in one day.
Yeah, it was pretty charged. The last one was in Trenton, and that was the big abortion facility. And I went in, and I wanted to know, what do they provide to a pregnant woman? They're called Planned Parenthood. So if I'm pregnant and I'm new to town, I ask them, you know, I'm not real sure if I'm going to keep my child or not. What kind of resources do you have? If I do decide to keep my baby, do you guys have like an OBGYN here that I could come back and see? Do you have any pamphlets on prenatal vitamins or, you know, what to do once my baby's born? And they have nothing. No. I mean, I have this tape. No, we don't have that. I asked, well, do you have any referrals to OBGYNs? Because if I decide to keep the baby, I'm going to have to go see a doctor pretty soon. Mm. No, we don't have any of that. I mean, this is just a referral to an OBGYN. Mm-hmm. Now, they were able to highlight on a sheet for me every single abortion facility in the state of New Jersey that did late-term abortions and how much cash I would need to get my late-term abortion. Mm-hmm. But they weren't even able to refer me to one OBGYN in case I decided to choose life.
Which further points out how much they are not a pro-choice organization.
They're not a pro-woman organization.
They're there for abortions only. Mm-hmm. And that's why we did the postcard for the campuses of they're going to give you condoms that are low-ranked. They're going to give you birth control that they know is not going to work, and because their ultimate goal is to provide abortions, and that's where they're making their money.
Kristen, you serve as the executive director for Students for Life, and we've talked a lot in these past 2 days about the activism aspect, and you're obviously very vocal and very comfortable doing that. I'm just thinking of those students who 100% believe what you believe, but they say, I am not confrontational. Mm-hmm. I am not a stand on the sidewalk with a clipboard kind of person. Is there room for me in this movement?
Of course there is. I mean, this is a broad movement. The pro-life movement needs people of all different types of backgrounds and interests. When we go on the campuses and when we have our first kind of interest meeting, I always ask people, okay, what's your major? And let's find something in the pro-life movement that you can do that is in your major that you're already going to like to do and might even help you with your resume. Mm. You know, if you're political science, that's easy. We got you covered. If you're psychology or sociology, we've got places you can go and get experience. If you're journalism, we've got something for you to do, or graphic design.
Any men?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Our groups are about 60-40 women to men.
Really?
So we have a lot of men. Our conferences, it's a pretty interesting pro-life pickup place. We have a lot. You can tell a lot of men are looking because it's the best place to find chaste pro-life women, you know. It's a great place, pro-life conferences. But we try to work with all different types of pro-life organizations. And then, you know, we feature them in our communications to students. So there's pregnancy resource centers. There's places you can learn to become a sidewalk counselor. There's places you can become active in social media for life. So no matter what your interest is or the way God made you, if you're naturally a shy person, you're not going to want to go out in front of the abortion facility and pray. But you may just write a really great blog post that other people on your campus will hear about. And so there's places for everybody in the pro-life movement. One of the first things we tell most of our groups to do is before they get approved on campus or disapproved on campus, we say, take all of your members, especially the new folks, the people who have never been involved in the pro-life movement before, and take them out in front of the abortion facility to pray. Go as a group. Don't ask anybody to go by themselves because it's way too intimidating to go by yourself. But go as a group and silently pray. Kneel and pray. If it's, you know, if somebody's agnostic or atheist, just say, you know, silent reflection time. But you need to witness exactly what you're fighting for. You need to see the women going into the facilities crying. You need to see them leaving crying. Mm-hmm. And you need to show these women that you care about them. Because you're not going to, you know, sometimes you're on campus, you may not know somebody who's going to have an abortion. People aren't always going to walk up to you and say, I'm pregnant, what do I do? And so there's times as a pro-lifer you can get down and say, well, I just did all this work and did I really save any lives? Did I change any hearts and minds? So it's important for those students to go out there. We had a group a few months ago that first event, they went out, they prayed in front of the abortion facility. A girl went into the abortion facility, walked out. She went in, she walked out, she went in, she walked out. And she finally walked over to the Students for Life group, and they weren't even talking to her. They were just praying. And she said, I couldn't do it because you guys were out here. Aww. And they started talking to her, and you know, they said, well, what bothered you? And she said, you guys are so young, you're my age. And that really, really struck a chord with her, that these young people were out there, they're her age. There wasn't, you know, the white old man with the mean sign. That's how pro-lifers are depicted. It was young college students of all races sitting there and silently praying for her.
Kristen, you are a very courageous lady. I tell you, I am very, very impressed with what you've told us today and what you're doing. Well, we're almost out of time. Kristen, what do you want to say to the people who are listening?
I really want to get across one message, and that is there's reason to hope, and that I would say we can abolish abortion in our lifetime. This January 22nd, it was our national conference in Washington, D.C., and we premiered a short 3-minute video there because January 22nd was the 40th full year of legal abortion. We are literally living in the 40th year of abortion in America. And I think that's very significant for those of us who are faith believers. 40 years is always very biblically significant. But the tide is turning and things are starting to happen. And I want people to have faith and I want people to have hope that we will be able to abolish abortion in our lifetime.
How can people pray for you?
Sure. Well, yeah. Please pray for us. Please pray for our team. We have team members that are spread out throughout the United States serving as regional coordinators, starting pro-life groups and working with students. We come under spiritual attack. You know, there's days when everything goes wrong. We had this fall, two of our staffers were killed by a drunk driver in Georgia. And Courtney was pregnant with Sophie. And it was a terrible tragedy for us. We lost three family members. And it was really difficult. But we got through it because we had thousands of people across the United States praying for us and praying for our mission. And you know, we were able to finish the semester meeting all of our goals and doing everything we said we were going to do despite this horrible thing that had happened to us. So please pray for our team. We're traveling across the country. Pray for our safety and pray for the students that we serve, that they can be courageous and that they be willing to stand up for life.
Mm-hmm. You're optimistic, aren't you?
I'm very optimistic.
You've mentioned twice in these interviews when we end abortion.
Yes.
You believe that's going to happen?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I mean, that's my mission. We will end abortion in our lifetime. We talk about it all the time at the office of what are we going to do after we end abortion? Mm-hmm. You know, my career will be shot. No one will want to hire me. It's a good problem to have because that's what we need to talk about. Our conference this year on January 22nd, it was the first pro-life conference ever to deal with what happens after Roe v. Wade is overturned. And that was the theme of our conference, of what happens after Roe v. Wade is overturned. It was called Envision a World Without Abortion. And they said, well, I don't think you should reuse the word envision. You should say use the word imagine. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Envision. Mm-hmm. You have to envision your goal. You have to know where you're going if we're going to get there.
Yeah. You know what I hope happens? I hope what happens is what they did in Germany after World War II, that the people living near concentration camps— they walk them through those areas. That's what they do with the Germans. Those living near the concentration camps, the government walked them through those places where they were killing people every day, saying, this is what you let happen. Mm-hmm. And every Planned Parenthood and abortion provider in America, the people living in those communities around them should have to go through and say, this is what you let happen.
Have you seen the films of the people coming out
going
handkerchiefs
in,
over their face because the smell was so bad and they're crying, they're weeping?
Well, you see the change because going in, you see people going in and they're laughing and they're on a field trip and they're just, they're going to go on this little trip and they come out horrified.
To find out what had really been going on.
That's right.
I don't know how to tell you this, Kristen, but there will be other evils for you to fight. And one of them will probably be euthanasia.
Yes.
Because of the implications of an older generation not wanting to use up all of the family resources and preventing the younger generation from having a chance and going to college and so on. That's going to be a biggie. Thank you for being our guest and for all that you're doing.
Thanks for having
and
me.
And take that message back to your colleagues who are out there fighting the battle for all of the rest of us. And we do support you, and I'm excited to learn more about what you're doing.
Thanks for having me. This is I don't really get starstruck much, but I've been starstruck. Today, so.
Well, blessings to you, Kristen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, we hope today's Family Talk program has helped you. As guest Kristen Hawkins said, imagine this world without abortion. And by imagining it, we can accomplish
it. That's right.
Students for Life of America is making such great strides in today's society, and their work is definitely making a difference in the lives of so many families across this nation.
And Ryan, I really hope that the Lord has awakened a sense of urgency in the hearts of many listeners today to stand up and help save the unborn. It is not too late. Now is the time to let our voices be heard for those who can't speak for themselves. So to get involved, visit drjamesdobson.org. We have lots of information and resources on how you can start a Students for Life of America organization on your college campus. And really, I also would greatly encourage you to share this two-day interview with Kristen with your family and friends by linking this to your own Facebook page.
And for those women and men out there who are suffering the psychological and emotional pain of an abortion, past or present, we want you to know that we are here to help you. This is so important to us. God is a God of mercy and forgiveness, and He will bring you ultimate healing and restoration, but only if you come to Him. And we have provided specific articles for you on our website, and we implore you to check it out. If you're interested in putting things of the past behind you and want to seek a life with the Lord as a new creation, call us. We are here to help. 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Ryan, it gives me goosebumps to think of the work that the Lord will begin today because of this program.
Amazing.
Thanks so much for being with us. And this quick program note, you may have heard the buzz surrounding the talk that Mr. Eric Metaxas gave at the National Prayer Breakfast recently. We will have that for you next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.